Rupert Murdoch cares about his hurt feelings? If Rudy so much as tried to speak to Murdoch at a dinner, Murdoch would simply nod to one of his henchmen and have Rudy thrown into a watery pit full of crocodiles. Why are you taking me to the pools? I don't have my swimming trunks. And while I'm sure getting Fox News on Time Warner was a huge deal at the time, it now sounds like the shadiest of Sopranos B-plots. Oh, Rudy's mad because he helped us out with that Time Warner thing. Yeah, free pay channels and the like.
So, Rudy, did you go on Fox News last night?
Like 20 times, yeah. Don't worry, I told them that you were openly colluding with Russia, but then I ended with, so what? Should all be fine.
Yeah. Thanks, Rudy.
I even confessed to some crimes you didn't do, and then I said, what are you going to do, arrest the president? I dare you.
Okay. I think they get the point. Rudy, I really appreciate everything you've done for me.
Hey, you're the best and last client I'll ever have.
Perhaps the biggest sting of all was not the banning itself, but when and how Rudy found out and what show he was banned on.
Giuliani was banned for nearly 3 months, but he only learned of the move the day before he was set to appear on Fox and Friends on September 11th.
Imagine getting told you're not credible enough to appear on Fox and Friends. That show doesn't exactly have the highest journalistic standards. You remember how every so often there's an octopus who predicts what teams are going to win the Super Bowl or the World Cup? Fox and Friends has it on to talk about masks in schools. And then there's the timing. Rudy was reportedly told of his ban the night before the 20th anniversary of 9/11, which might be why Rudy seems so, let's say, out of sorts the next day at what was supposed to be a solemn 9/11 memorial dinner and ended up turning into an incoherent rant about how he never partied with Prince Andrew.
I know Prince Andrew is very questionable now. I never went out with him. Ever. Never had a drink with him. Never was with a woman or a young girl with him. Ever. One time, I met him in my office, and one time when we had the party. Right, Bernie? You were there. You weren't there? Oh,
huh. So weird TV networks wouldn't want this man on their shows. So, Rudy, just a reminder today, we really want to stress. We just want you to talk about how Biden's vaccine mandate is tyranny. You got it. I'll also throw in how I never partied with Prince Andrew. No, just leave that out entirely. Good idea, because I did party with him one time. And another time it was in my office. But don't worry, I'll explain it all once you put me on TV. Don't explain it all. Just don't bring it up at all. I'll bring it up no more than 5 to 7 times. Now, I'm obviously not a Fox News programming exec, but maybe the decision to ban Rudy had something to do with Rudy being, I don't know, an insane person who's under criminal investigation and facing a $1 billion defamation lawsuit and who routinely confesses to things unprompted, especially when he's on Fox News.
Did you read the transcript?
Let's say it was read to me.
It was read to you, the whole thing.
I hope. It's all here, right here. The first call from the State Department.
Here's Kurt saying, great, I will tell Yermak and he'll visit with you there, thanks.
I don't know about it. I didn't hear it.
Forget the whistleblower. We have the transcript of the call and the president's remarks.
Shut up,
moron.
Shut up.
Okay, hold on.
Shut up.
On.
You don't know what you're talking about. What's this guy Romney like? You know what I told him? He's our Al Gore.
All right, Rudy.
I'm Spartacus.
By the way, Biden's been off the trail.
Mueller saying obstruction of justice. You cut everything out. Obstruction of justice, which the guy will say, say obstruction of justice. Obstruction of justice. Did you decide it? No.
Maybe they cut him because his impressions weren't good enough. Looks like someone needs to go to impressions camp. Nah, actually, never mind. He'd definitely do sloth. Or maybe he's banned because he regularly went on Fox and showed off other people's incriminating texts and emails and phone calls and nonsensically waved around random pieces of paper like a guy in Times Square trying to convert you to some weird religion you've never heard of. Would you like a free stress test? Have you heard the gospel of Gerlach? But of course, it seems like the real reason Rudy was banned probably has a lot more to do with a simple financial and legal calculation. You see, Fox is currently the target of a $1.6 billion defamation lawsuit from the voting machine company Dominion, which is also suing Rudy personally for spreading baseless conspiracy theories about how their machines were supposedly rigged. And Rudy played a big part in spreading those lies.
As he's gotten more evidence of the rigging that went on, he's really outraged. It's way beyond what people think, including a very, very dangerous foreign company, a company that has close ties with Venezuela and therefore China, is a radical left company
One of the people there is a big supporter of Antifa. Our votes are sent overseas. This is another attempt to try to defeat him by illegal means.
If you were on a flight next to someone talking like that, you'd ask the attendant for a parachute. Our votes are sent overseas? Is he confusing ballot boxes with normal? So now that he's been banned from Fox News, Rudy has to resort to more obscure outlets like Steve Bannon's podcast, which I'm guessing is recorded on a desert island after a shipwreck, where Rudy claimed falsely that everything he said on Fox has been verified.
There's a story on Rolling Stone and Politico that says you're on double secret probation over at Fox, and I don't think people knew this. Fox did not allow Rudy Giuliani on Fox News, on Fox and Friends, on the morning of September 11th. That's what's now they tell you you've been on some secret probation over there that nobody knew about.
Yeah, it's really strange that I'm on probation at a time in which just about everything I said is being corroborated. And they actually are reporting all the things they claim I misled them about. And every night they're now, one night after another, we're corroborating one thing, like this Arizona thing. Corroborates one of the things they would have said a week ago I was misleading them about.
I doubt they called it double secret probation when they told him about it. Rudy probably used that term and then they just went with it. This sounds like double secret probation. Whatever you want to call it, Rudy. That's what the Queen put Prince Andrew on. Not that I know him or I've ever partied with the man. Oh, wait, there was that one time. Bernie, you were there, weren't you? Oh, you were? And no. The scam GOP-led Arizona audit did not corroborate what you said. In fact, it found the exact opposite. The audit, which was designed to fabricate non-existent evidence of fraud, blew up in Trump's face by proving that Biden actually won by more votes than we previously thought.
The results are now in after that very expensive audit of the 2020 election in Arizona, the Republican-led effort tonight showing that President Biden actually won by even more than originally thought.
It wasn't what they were hoping for.
We'll get this show on the road, so to speak.
In the end, the Arizona Republican audit found 99 more votes for Joe Biden and 261 fewer for Donald Trump. Republicans in the legislature admitting today that their controversial months-long partisan review of the votes had found in the end that, yes, Joe Biden won Arizona.
So Trump and the Arizona GOP were humiliated after they spent millions to hire a group of right-wing tech weirdos called the Cyber Ninjas, which sounds like an off-brand action figure your grandma would buy you at the dollar store. The man says they're just as good as Transformers, except they don't turn into anything and you can't get them wet. They only take watch batteries. As you'll recall, the Cyber Ninjas went to insane lengths to find evidence of fraud, like when they used UV lights to scan ballots for bamboo fibers, and all they ended up doing was proving that Biden won Maricopa County by even more than we originally thought. Maybe Trump and the GOP will just have to keep bringing in crazier right-wing groups with dumber and dumber names until they finally get the results they want, like the Robo Rockets or the Digi Pirates or the Crypto Cowboys. I mean, this is what happens when the right-wing fantasy world of unhinged conspiracy theories collides with reality. Fox News wants to fend off a lawsuit from Dominion, and they know Rudy's bat crazy conspiracy theories can't hold up in court. Even the Trump campaign and GOP senators themselves knew that, as we found out last week. And now, the scam GOP audit in Arizona has proved it once again. And yet, as part of their relentless effort to destroy democracy and discredit the very notion of free and fair elections, Republicans are insisting on pursuing more sham audits in states like Pennsylvania. But the same thing's going to keep happening to them that happened in Arizona. They're going to look for evidence of fraud. And when it backfires on them, they're going to say,
oh, so today, we got a fresh batch of inside stuff, way inside stuff, from Stephanie Grisham, who served as Trump's White House press secretary and Melania's chief of staff. She was on the inside from day one. She's got a book. It's called I'll Take Your Questions Now. And you're not going to believe this. Turns out this Trump character is a real nut. He's a real... According to Stephanie Grisham, first of all, he cuts his own hair with a giant pair of scissors, which is by far the least shocking revelation of all of them, but... Let's just run through them. Grisham says that during the G20 summit in 2019, Trump told Vladimir Putin before their meeting, he said, okay, I'm going to act a little tougher with you for a few minutes, but it's for the cameras. After they leave, we'll talk, you understand. Which is, this is not something a president says to another world leader, especially Vladimir Putin. This is something Hulk Hogan would say to Andre the Giant before WrestleMania. And when all that Stormy Daniels stuff came out, Grisham says Trump called her from Air Force One specifically to let her know his penis was not small or toadstool-shaped. Which is basically confirmation that his penis is small and toadstool-shaped. Can you imagine? Thanks for letting me know, Mr. President. Grisham also detailed the length staffers would go to mitigate his temper tantrums. He said the White House had a guy they called the Music Man. It turns out this guy happened to be her boyfriend at the time, who would play Trump's favorite show tunes to calm him down. I love it. The president is furious. Someone get his Cheetah Rivera CD fast. And one of the songs they would play to cool Trump down was Memory from Cats. Of course, that's Trump's favorite show. It's from the only musical that grabs you by the pussy, Cats. Stephanie Grisham, who sat and quietly watched all this lunacy go down, admits she should have spoken up more. More, in the 9 months she was press secretary, she didn't hold a single press conference. She should have spoken up once. That would have been more than nothing. And by the way, it's not just her. No one spoke up. All these so-called adults in the room, as they like to call themselves. If the president is snorting Adderall and throwing fried chicken at foreign leaders, maybe don't wait 3 years to put it in a book. But this is the funniest bombshell. You remember back a couple years ago, Trump took that mysterious trip to Walter Reed Hospital, and people were thinking maybe he had a heart attack or a stroke or something? It was neither of those things. He went to the hospital to have a colonoscopy. And he had it without anesthesia for two reasons. Number one, because he didn't want to give power to Mike Pence, even for a short time, for real. And number two, he didn't want to be the butt of a joke on late-night TV. Which, I have to say, it gives me a lot of satisfaction as a late-night talk show host to know that he opted to stay awake while they augured his innards with a sewer snake, specifically because he didn't want us making fun of him. I feel good, and I also feel cheated, because when a president, especially this president, gets a colonoscopy, it is my duty, that's right, duty, to make jokes about it. And so to make up for what I'm contractually and ethically obligated to deliver to you, it's time for some Trump colonoscopy jokes. They're a few years old, but I think you're going to like them. All right. Here we go. Jonathan, I'm going to need you. President went to Walter Reed Hospital for a colonoscopy today. It took a while because the doctor kept accidentally sticking the camera in his mouth. You know, as soon as they switched the camera on, Trump turned around and said, "Hey, Doc, how are the ratings?" Thank you. The president's doctor decided to schedule this procedure after the White House toilet killed itself. It was a good thing Trump had this done, because they found two cancerous polyps were removed immediately. The doctor said the hardest thing about giving Trump a colonoscopy was getting the camera around Mike Pence's nose. But Trump thought it went great overall. He got a perfect report. Afterwards, the whole medical team kept saying, "Wow, what an unbelievable a-hole."
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
For some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
Oh,
lost my beard. Dust my feathers with his hair. Feel his ghost breathing down my back. I will try, no, whatever I try. I will be gone, but not forever. I will try, no, whatever I try. I will be gone, but not forever. Real truth about it is, no one gets it right.
Wyndham Farmers Market is held every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. in front of Wyndham Local at 5410 Route 23 in Windham. You can find out all kinds of information about the Windham Farmers Market on the WGXC Community Calendar at WGXC.org, where all sorts of local events are listed. And you can even list your own if you go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event. You'll be read on the radio, just like the Windham Farmers Market, which is held every Saturday through October 9th in front of Windham Local with meats, greens, honey, vegetables, and more. That's the Windham Farmers Market from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Saturday on Route 23 in Windham.
Now to absorb some local color through the magic of AM radio.
The book of Revelations tells us to watch for the seven signs of evil.
Bacon, sign of evil number 4.
Continuing our sign of evil countdown, here's Vanessa Williams.
This is how it works. It feels a little worse than when we drove our hearse right through that screaming crowd while laughing up a storm until we were just bone, until it got so warm that none of us could sleep and all the styrofoam began to melt away. We tried to find some worms to eat in the decay, but none of them were home. Inside the catacomb, a million ancient bees began to sting our knees while we were on.
Good refrain. You'll listen to it twice, 'cause the DJ is asleep on the radio, on the radio, on the radio, uh-oh, on the radio, uh-oh, on the radio, uh-oh, on the radio.
You gotta try something.
I got a job at the radio station.
Oh, great, that place. It's dark and dirty and has, like, what, those three weirdos who work there?
Next, we hear a song inspired by Radio Alice, one of the Italian free radio stations, or one might call pirate radio stations, that flourished in Italy in the 1970s when there was little oversight from the government. The radio stations lived in harmony and sort of worked together and did not interfere with each other. And Radio Alice was especially known for its programming that drew inspiration from the Situationists and Dada and has been described as, quote, a mix between a classical medium of militant information and a sort of art experiment in media sabotage, unquote. In 1988, the San Francisco band The Catheads released an album called Submarine with a song called Alice on the Radio. It included bass player Alan Korn, who later became a broadcast lawyer and worked with WGXC to get our FCC broadcast license. He wrote about Radio Alice in this song called Alice on the Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Folks, before we begin taping today, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Peter Jenks of the Federal Communications Commission. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Barris. I don't know if any of you are aware of this, but it's a federal offense to make lascivious remarks on a television network broadcast. The penalty.
The This is Lee Hazelwood.
And Nancy Sinatra.
You know, some velvet morning when I'm straight, I'm gonna turn on
WGXC Macra Hudson Catskill.
Hey, cowboy, where'd you get that funny hat?
90.7 FM.
Composer Wang Lu was inspired by her childhood memory of music played in a remote mountain town. And we'll hear her raucous orchestral homage on the next Deep Threes. Plus tracks from Soundprints and Christina Vansu. Deep Threes. Where will the music take you?
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Kravitz & Son Roofing, a local family-owned and operated full-service roofing company for more than 48 years. Specializing in residential and commercial roof construction, repair, maintenance, and replacement, using high-quality and affordable roofing products. Information at 518-567-4026 or online at KravitzandSonRoofing.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Chris Funkhauser and Amy Huffnagel of Rhinebeck, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You are listening to Transmission Arts Programming on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Mansour Adaifi, detainee 441. Lost and Found at Guantanamo. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan in our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Guantanamo Bay, located on the southern tip of Cuba, is home to the notorious U.S. military prison known as Gitmo, where 779 men have been held overwhelmingly without charge and brutalized over the past 20 years. One of these prisoners, Yemeni-born Mansour Adaifi, or detainee 441, was held for 14 years until 2016. He's now living in exile in Serbia, where the U.S. forced him to relocate despite having no connection to the country. Adaifi's memoir has just been published. In it, he describes the horror of Guantanamo and how he and his fellow prisoners maintained their sanity, built solidarity, and survived. Mansour Adaifi spoke on the Democracy Now! NewsHour from Belgrade. He smiles and laughs throughout the conversation, despite having endured years of torture and arbitrary imprisonment. He picked up most of his nearly fluent English from the guards at Guantanamo. He described the remarkable diversity of the prison population into which he was thrust.
Imagine around 50 nationalities, 20 languages, different background. People who at Guantanamo, they were artists, singers, doctors, nurses, divers, mafia, drug addicts, teachers, scholars, poets. That diversity of culture interacted with each other, melted, and formed what we call Guantanamo culture. We call it the beautiful Guantanamo.
Mansour Adaifi's eloquent memoir, Don't Forget Us Here, Lost and Found at Guantanamo, is a deeply personal testament to the horror of the prison. It's also a searing indictment of the brutality of the U.S. military and of those in charge there, including General Jeffrey Miller, a relentless torture advocate who would go on to Gitmoize Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq, and the string of presidents, commanders-in-chief, from George W. Bush to Obama to Trump and now to Biden. Mansour Adaifi writes in the book's introduction, "Please allow me to take you on a journey through Guantanamo." He goes on, "Buckle up and prepare yourself. I will be your guide, but don't worry. You won't have to wear the orange jumpsuit shackles or hood. You'll be free every night to leave behind the fences and isolation cells and rejoin your life. But I think you will come back and join me again to see a side of Guantanamo few people have experienced, where, yes, there is much pain, but there are also unexpected moments of beauty and joy that will take your breath away. This is my Guantanamo, Adaifi writes. Born into a large family in rural Yemen, Mansour did well in school and was sent to Afghanistan to help with a research project when he was just 18. He recounted what happened there.
One day after 9/11, I was kidnapped by the warlord. They were actually interested in the car. They weren't interested in us. Then when American came, the American airplane, they were throwing a lot of flyers offering a large bounty of money. Could it change Afghani's life? So Afghanis found out that the more you give them high-rank people, the more you get paid. The price ranged between $5,000 to like $200,000, $500,000. First of all, we were taken as held for ransom. Then I was sold to the CIA as Al-Qaeda general, middle-aged Egyptian, you know, 9/11 insider. I was taken to the black site where I was like tortured for over 2 months.
Mansour will never forget what happened there.
No one knows how many people ended there and how many people actually died there. But there was no limitation to whatever they can do to you. I mean, we spend hang on the ceiling all the time, upside down. Even the we are blindfolded, naked. The food and drink, they just pour rice and water in our mouth. Sometimes we also do our things while standing, and there is no rest. 24 hours is a programming, like sleep deprivation. We have only sleep. They give you 30 minutes, like then 6 hours, then 20 minutes if you can sleep. Loud music, beating, waterboarding.
Shackled and hooded, Mansour was flown 40 hours from Afghanistan to Guantanamo. His captors hung a "Beat Me" sign around his neck, and the guards on board obliged, beating him throughout the journey. At Guantanamo, the abuse continued. Eventually, the prisoners organized themselves and began a hunger strike.
Our bodies was the battlefield because Americans torture us, abuse us, and beat us. And in our bodies, also we were torturing our bodies by hunger strike, by trying to resist. And I wrote about it, the hunger strike. It was a slow journey to death, toward death.
While Mansour Adaifi suffered countless beatings and horrendous interrogations at the hands of the guards, he still felt compassion for those who returned from a combat tour in Iraq or Afghanistan.
I saw how the guards came back. Many of them were mentally devastated. You know, when you see a broken soul, it is painful than anything. You know, even the pain that touched your soul, it is worse than it is the most severe pain.
Another guard moved him deeply when she refused a direct order to drag Mansour to an interrogation.
Hope it was a matter of life or death. You have to keep hoping. You know, that place was designed just to take the hope away.
Mansour Adaifi defiantly wears an orange scarf, rejecting the warnings given him by a Guantanamo prison psychologist and an international committee of the Red Cross representative who said the color orange might trigger post-traumatic stress.
What I have learned at Guantanamo, I will never keep silence, you know, because keeping silence only gives the oppressor a means to oppress you more. So I will never keep silence.
I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes?
Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu, up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Crane. Natasha Von Holdridge, Kate Lisa,
and Sam Rowden's report for Columbia Green Media that about 83% of hospital workers at Columbia Memorial Health in Hudson have been vaccinated for COVID-19, the lowest level of any hospital in the capital region. That is according to the state health department on September 29th, while hospital officials refused to release specific staffing numbers. Spokesperson Bill Van Slyke said in a statement, and I quote, "The combination of record patient volumes, due in large part to COVID, and broader clinical staff supply issues continues to present challenges to many healthcare providers in the state, including CMH. We have been managing operations throughout the pandemic within a very tight labor market, so to lose any staff can compound that challenge. We are very proud of our employees who meet that challenge every day, and we welcome back staff who have recently been vaccinated. The numbers change daily. Overall, our experience with staff vaccinations is consistent with the broader region," end quote. Before COVID-19, the hospital cut services and no longer does childbirth, sending mothers to Albany and Dutchess County instead. Albany Medical Center was transparent, releasing more detailed information about how many employees were not vaccinated, while Columbia Memorial Health, an affiliate of Albany Medical Center, repeatedly refused to release any information. Susan Ford, a spokesperson for Albany Medical Center, said, and I quote, "Each of the Albany Med Health System hospitals handle their own PR, so we cannot speak for Columbia Memorial Health," end quote. A Columbia Memorial official did admit they need help. CMH spokesperson Van Slyke said, and I quote, "Some elective procedures requiring an inpatient stay have been rescheduled, and we've offered telehealth services at various locations, such as our rapid care centers, to help manage patient needs. We are actively recruiting for many positions, both clinical and non-clinical, so we encourage anyone who wants to serve our community in a position that offers competitive pay and good benefits to visit our website and apply," end quote. On September 30th, Columbia Memorial Health Hospital in Hudson was reporting 4-hour emergency department waiting times due to staff shortages. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Mid-Hudson News reports in the Daily Freeman that new airline Norse Atlantic Airways has applied to the Federal Aviation Administration for permission to offer service between New York Stewart International Airport and Oslo. The Norway-based carrier wants to start passenger service between the U.S. and Europe in the summer of 2022 with round-trip service to Oslo from 3 U.S. airports, Stewart, Fort Lauderdale, and Los Angeles, using Boeing's 787 Dreamliner aircraft. Norwegian Air pulled out of Stewart in 2019, citing the grounding of Boeing's 737 MAX jets after two fatal crashes of that aircraft as a reason for cutting back. Norwegian Air would have been the first airline to use Stewart's then-under-construction International Arrivals Building, which Norse Atlantic Airways will now use. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Steve Barnes reports in the Times Union that the new Lebanon Farmers Market is now a year-round indoor operation. Local fruit, vegetables, meat, dairy, baked goods, prepared foods, and more will be available at 528 Route 20 in the village, noon to 6 p.m. Wednesday to Saturday. The outdoor market will continue through the end of October in the parking lot of the local Berkshire Bank branch, 502 Route 20, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Sundays. The market's website includes online ordering at the indoor market. Berkshire Agricultural Ventures, a not-for-profit helping farmers and food makers in Columbia and Dutchess County, Berkshire County, Massachusetts, and Lynchfield County, Connecticut, provided a low-interest loan to purchase refrigeration for the indoor market. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Dave Kepner is reporting for Rochester First that small game hunting begins October 1st in many parts of New York. Ruffed goose, rabbit, coyote, and pheasant seasons all begin October 1st. The Department of Environmental Conservation is releasing about 30,000 adult pheasants on public land this year. while ruffed grouse hunting is allowed, shooting spruce grouse, a state endangered species, is illegal, and the DEC has tips for hunters to help distinguish which species is which on their website. DEC Commissioner Basil Sago said, and I quote, "Every fall, more than 60,000 hunters venture afield to pursue New York's abundant small game species. It is a great way to introduce new hunters to the sport and teach them how to be safe and responsible members of the hunting community while reconnecting to the outdoors, establishing new traditions, and experiencing New York's diverse wildlife," end quote. Deer and bear hunting seasons will open on November 20th. And you can read more about this story at Rochester First. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, patchy fog before 8 a.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 72 degrees. And Saturday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 53 degrees. And on Sunday, a chance of showers after 2 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 70 degrees. And Sunday night, showers are likely with thunderstorms also possible after 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 57 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
What else do DJs get? I mean, we're just voices in the air, but we're what makes radio live. And what do we get for it? It seems like every year you pack everything up, move to another town. It gets harder and harder to find a station that'll let you program music you want to play. Well, you're 40 and there's some kid half your age who will take your job and do it for half the money. And then you find yourself making silly demands. Free coffee. But that's my little moment of honesty, so we can get back to the nonsense.
I hate the winter. Can't stand the cold. I tend to cancel all the plans. I'm sorry, I can't make it. But when the heat comes, something takes a hold. Can I kick it? Yeah, I can. My cheeks in hot color, overripe peaches. No shirt, no shoes, only my features. My boy behind me, he's taking pictures. Meet the boys and girls onto the beaches. Come on, come on, tell you my secrets. I'm kinda like a prettier Jesus. Forget all of the tears that you've cried, it's over. Acid green, aquamarine. The girls are dancing in the sand. And I throw my cellular device in the water. Can you reach me? No, you can't. My cheeks in hot color, overripe peaches. No shirt, no shoes, only my features. My boy behind me, he's taking pictures.
He's taking pictures.
Lead the boys and girls onto the beaches. Come on, come on, I'll tell you my secrets. I'm kinda like a prettier Jesus. Turn it on in a new kind of bright. It's solar. Come on and let the bliss begin. Blink three times. times when you feel it kicking in that sound.
We're going to do some transmitting and receiving now. This is Modest Mouse's 2021 song, Transmitting Receiving, from the Golden Casket album on the radio at WGXC.
bathtubs under drains. But something's off.
Vegetables, Pennsylvania Dutch symbols on bread packages, fresh and simple, half and half, injected with stabilizers at some factory, not fear exactly, morning mists on the tree farm, woodchuck holes, stumps, birds making high-pitched sounds. One time a kingfisher flew from a bush screaming at me across the pond where the dam is, rattling the whole way. Yes, fear. A mechanical birth for thinking. Bumper car action. One moment to the next. It's humid and I'm alone in the house. Remember the ocean? No. I don't want to. The beach was summers ago, and I'm not about to get in the car during a pandemic. Isolation isn't that bad. I have lots, including pizza. Trucks rattle by. A baby hawk cries. Eggshells smell of willow. Stamped picture of a horse and buggy. Deer leap. Rabbits dart into thickets and are uncaught. Animals look at me and don't speak. Fear is entering a space of certainty. When I ride my bike, I think, don't ruin it by pushing. Just pedal. It's okay. Pedal till you get there.
That was Jaded Azurides with the song Best Before from their 2021 album Forthright. Jaded Azurides is Columbia County poet Karen Schomer and legendary bass player Mike Watt.